This is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM. KMXT is also in HD, and we have HD2 and HD3 as well. We're also streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. Here in Kodiak, it's partly cloudy, 40 degrees, south winds, just 13 miles per hour. Looking out the window, there's a couple patches of blue with just a little bit of direct sun, so hopefully that could stick around. Today, there is slight chances of rain before 3 p.m., and slight chances of rain and snow this evening. It will start to be mostly cloudy in the forecast, with highs up to the lower 30s, up to 43. South winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Tonight, 20% chances of snow. Mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 30 or in the lower 30s, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Wednesday, there's slight chances of snow, and it looks like Thursday could be sunny once again. For your midday report, we're going to hear about the Alaska House taking up an education bill. We'll be right back after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Two men are now facing murder and other felony charges in connection with last Wednesday's shootings following Super Bowl celebrations for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office in Missouri says each defendant faces murder in the second degree, two counts of armed criminal action, and unlawful use of a weapon. The shooting, stemming from a dispute, killed a local celebrity DJ and wounded more than 20 people. With just days to go before her home state's critical primary, Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley says she's staying in the race regardless of this weekend's results in South Carolina. Haley took on both her Republican rival, former President Donald Trump, and President Joe Biden today in what her campaign called a state of the race speech. Here's NPR's Sarah McCammon.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is trailing former President Trump in her home state's primary polls and has yet to win a presidential nominating contest. But she's continued campaigning and fundraising. Speaking in Greenville, Haley argued that both Trump and President Biden are no longer fit for the presidency and vowed to keep running.
South Carolina will vote on Saturday, but on Sunday, I'll still be running for president. I'm not going anywhere.
Haley's campaign says she saw her strongest fundraising month so far in January, bringing in more than $16 million. Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
Former President Trump's also expected to be in Greenville tonight for a Fox News town hall. According to Fox News, it's a pre-taped event. President Biden, meanwhile, has taken his re-election campaign to California. The Biden administration is planning to announce a major new sanctions package on Russia this week. NPR's Asma Khalid reports this comes in response to the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny.
The White House did not say how the additional sanctions might differ from previous measures, but said it'll have more information on Friday when the sanctions are announced. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby says they are intended to hold Russia accountable for what happened to Navalny.
And quite frankly, for all its actions over the course of this vicious and brutal war that has now raged on for 2 years.
Kirby there referring to Russia's war against Ukraine. The White House is also calling on Congress to quickly pass additional funding for Ukraine. A bill to do that has been held up by Republican leadership in the House. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
In London, supporters of Julian Assange outside the Royal Courts of Justice, where the WikiLeaks founder is fighting extradition to the United States to face espionage charges. Assange is accused of publicizing large amounts of sensitive information without U.S. government approval. U.S. stocks end the day lower. The Dow closed down 64 points. The S&P was down 30 points. The Nasdaq ended the day down 144 points. You're listening to NPR News. The International Court of Justice heard a second day of arguments today over Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories. South Africa's ambassador to the Netherlands, Vusimuzi Madonsela, accuses Israel of apartheid against Palestinians.
We as South Africans sense, see, hear and feel to our core the inhumane discriminatory policies and practices of the Israeli regime as an even more extreme form of the apartheid that was institutionalized against black people in my country.
Israel denies the allegations, and the government was not expected to make a statement at The Hague. Despite the tough housing market in the U.S., a new report finds home ownership among some racial and ethnic groups of color is up. But as NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, Black Americans still lag behind.
Asian Americans and Hispanics saw record high rates of home ownership in 2022, according to the National Association of Realtors. But there was only a slight uptick in Black buyers. In fact, over the past decade, the gap between Black and white home ownership grew. The report finds Black households especially pay a bigger share of their income for rent and have more student debt. That makes it hard to save for a down payment. And with lower incomes on average, there are far fewer homes they can afford. The overall share of first-time home buyers has shrunk the past couple of years as home prices skyrocketed. The Realtors Association has found that buyers on average are older, richer, and whiter. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
It's 12:06 in Kodiak. I'm Brian Benoit. It's time for your local news. Trident Seafoods is requesting a temporary exemption to the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act so it can replace its bunkhouse dock along the western shore of the Near Island Channel in downtown Kodiak. The company's work could potentially disturb a population of over 450 northern sea otters in the area. Trident plans to remove the existing dock and install a new, smaller one to replace its bunkhouse, which is adjacent to the main processing plant. The bunkhouse was demolished last year, and the company had plans to replace pilings in the dock in October, but had to wait on permits like an incidental harassment authorization. Heather Patterson is a wildlife biologist with the Marine Mammals Management Office in Anchorage. She explains why a company like Trident needs to apply for an incidental harassment authorization in the first place.
So under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, disturbing the behaviors or potentially injuring a marine mammal is prohibited. However, there are exceptions to this, and so operators who need to undertake work that might disrupt marine mammal behavior can apply to have that take authorized.
All incidental harassment authorizations are temporary and typically last up to 1 year. Trident's application is for what's called a Level B incidental harassment, and the company would not be permitted to incidentally kill the animals.
Level B harassment is an act that has the potential to, and I'm paraphrasing here, disturb biologically important behaviors such as breeding, breathing, foraging, eating, resting, nursing, those sorts of things.
Trident's application, however, notes the company's work could injure or harass sea otters through excessive noise. Spokesperson for Trident declined to comment in time for this broadcast. Trident wants to start work on its bunkhouse dock next month with the intent of continuing through June. But before Trident can begin construction, its application must go through a public comment period and review process. Then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will make its final decision. The proposed authorization for the bunkhouse dock replacement is currently available online in the Federal Register. The public comment period closes next week. The Alaska House took up a wide-ranging education bill on Monday, but the proposal hit a key snag before debate even started. Three members representing areas off the road system voted against a key procedural question that kept the bill from advancing to a full vote of the House and threw the future of the bill into limbo. One of the members, Independent Representative Bryce Edgman of Dillingham, said he was concerned about provisions added by the House Rules Committee last month.
I did not know what button I was going to push. But when it came down to it, after a whole bunch of soul-searching, talking with a couple of my brethren from the Bush caucus, before I can vote on a bill that has a lot of provisions in it, which are really unvetted, I don't know what this charter school provision does. I don't know what the amendment does. Yet we're about to have that committee as a whole discussion, apparently.
The bill would ease the approval process for charter schools, boost correspondence schools and student transportation, and bolster internet speeds across the state. It would also increase the base student allocation, a key piece of the state's education funding formula, by $300. Representatives C.J. McCormick of Bethel and Neil Foster of Nome, both Democrats, joined Edgman in opposing the Rules Committee's version of the bill. Those three members represent key votes in the 23-member Republican-led House Majority Caucus. Rules Committee Chair Representative Craig Johnson, an Anchorage Republican, encouraged lawmakers to allow debate to go forward. Johnson argued it was at least worth talking through the merits of the bill.
A lot of stuff dies with this vote today. So I ask you to search your soul. Are we better off surrendering, or are we better off at least vetting it, getting our positions known? And the will of the body is the will of the body.
The debate comes as school districts across the state brace for significant cuts. Administrators in Fairbanks recently recommended closing two schools and have identified two more as candidates for possible closure. Fairbanks Education Association President Dennett Peterson told the Senate Education Committee last week that flat funding is pushing up pupil-teacher ratios.
Just a couple years ago, we closed three schools, and I know how difficult that was for our community. Our PTR is going up to rates that I believe are ridiculous. Last year, when I was at Hutchison teaching, I had a lit class of 39 in a room that was designed for 24.
The $300 per student increase included in the House bill would be less than the state provided in one-time funding last year, even after a veto from Governor Mike Dunleavy cut the amount in half. Johnson, the House Rules Chair, said he was open to debate on larger increases. The House adjourned for the day on Monday with a second vote on the Rules Committee's version of the education bill still pending. Debate is scheduled to resume about an hour ago. The Alaska Senate is working on nixing several dozen executive orders Governor Mike Dunleavy issued earlier this year as well. The orders are mostly related to restructuring or eliminating various boards or commissions, and they're set to become law unless the legislature votes them down by mid-March. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports the Senate committees have heard significant pushback on some of the orders.
Senate committees have moved quickly to examine the 12 orders, says Senate President Gary Stevens.
We've never seen so many in my experience at one time. We're going through them very methodically, one at a time, making sure that they go through our committees.
The Dunleavy administration says the executive orders are efforts to eliminate inefficiencies in government and enhance accountability. But senators have heard public opposition to many of the orders as they've moved through committees. Several people speaking out against them have said the boards Dunleavy wants to eliminate provide important public input to ensure a variety of perspectives are heard. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says that's been a worry for his constituents.
I think the theme is a concentration of power that many people are concerned with.
One order that drew particular interest would eliminate the Management Council for Wood-Tikchik State Park in southwest Alaska. The board includes representatives of the governor's administration, plus members of local governments and tribal groups. Wood-Tikchik is the only state park with such a management council, and Council Chair Cody Larson says its structure is key to maintaining community buy-in.
We can only move at the speed of trust.
Others pushed back against orders eliminating the Susitna Basin Recreation Rivers Advisory Board and the Advisory Council for the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve in Haines. Another order would give the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game the authority to regulate the, quote, live capture, possession, transport, or release of native or exotic game or their eggs, end quote. And opposition to those orders was voluminous. Senator Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican, says in addition to hours of public testimony, her committee received a 3-inch stack of written comments on the four orders. Over in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, midwives, barbers, and masseuses spoke out against executive orders that would absorb their licensing boards into the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And Committee Chair Senator Jesse Bjorkman, a Nikiski Republican, says he's listening.
It's my desire to represent the interests of my constituents on the Kenai Peninsula who hold those professions and who have overwhelmingly expressed concern about the state government chloroforming their boards, which provide them a professional voice in crafting regulations that govern their professions.
Several executive orders were not the subject of much opposition, though. That includes an order eliminating the Criminal Justice Information Advisory Board. It's only met five times since 2014 and last got together half a decade ago. And one hasn't been heard at all in either the House or Senate. It would allow the governor to appoint all members of a board that advises the Alaska Marine Highway System. It's scheduled for its first hearing in the Senate Transportation Committee on February 20th, and public testimony is slated for February 22nd. To prevent the orders from taking effect would require a majority vote in a joint session of the legislature. And Stevens, the Senate president, says he plans to hold an up or down vote on all 12. But that means the House would have to vote to invite the Senate to a joint session, and Stevens says that's no sure bet.
We can't force the House to meet with us. The only way we can uphold or overturn the governor's, executive orders is by a joint meeting of the House and Senate. So we're hoping the House moves ahead.
Stevens says he expects to discuss the prospect of a joint session with the House Speaker the week of February 19th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
In our last story for today, most people probably don't question what happens to commercial fishing line after it's used. While some of it's recycled, a lot of it ends up just in landfills or on shorelines. KDLL's Hunter Morrison reports it can also be crafted into durable home furnishing.
Founded in 2013 on Kodiak Island, the Alaska Rug Company uses recycled fishing line and rope to craft hand-woven rugs, doormats, baskets, rope decor, and more. Jen Luton of Sterling bought the online shop last summer.
One thing that we are really proud of is that we recycle things, so it helps the impact of the local landfill. The things that people would rather just throw out because they don't need it anymore, we can actually use it and turn it into something that makes money for us and in turn for our community.
To craft these products, the company must first track down used fishing line and rope in the community. This requires making connections with local fishermen while constantly scouting other local sources. The line is then washed and measured before it's cut into smaller sizes.
I right away noticed how special the line was when I started messing around with it, and I started thinking, wow, these ropes have been through like the waters of Alaska, and they've caught fish, and they've like experienced something. And I know it's an inanimate object, but it feels kind of imbued with magic, and I'm really grateful I get to work with something like that and turn it into something beautiful and useful, a usable piece of art that will essentially last for a really long time.
The company, which is co-owned by Luton's partner, Ryan Bernard, also makes custom signs from locally purposed driftwood. In 2019, while still based in Kodiak, Alaska Rug Company represented the state of Alaska at the third annual Made in America Showcase, a product fair held at the White House. Since the company's relocation to the Kenai Peninsula, the owners say they've seen steady growth. The online shop gets the majority of its business from the lower 48, particularly from states like Florida and Texas. Luton says less than 5% of all sales are within the state of Alaska. The couple plans to expand local advertising this spring.
I think that it's a really cool product for the area because even though Kodiak's really tied to the commercial fishing industry, this area is too.
While much of the company's products are purchased by out-of-state customers, the profits stay local. Luton says that bolsters the local economy and allows her to support other local businesses.
And I hope that people that purchase from us understand that they're helping support us to create art, which is really therapeutic for us both. We've both really loved learning this new art and craft, and I know it's something really old that was essentially created by sailors. When I realized one of the knots and mats I had been making was actually a useful piece of equipment on a ship, I was really blown away.
In addition to the Alaska Rug Company, Luton owns and operates AK Tie-Dye, which sells an assortment of tie-dyed products. She says she'll be selling products from both shops in a combined vendor tent at events like Salmon Fest this summer. Although the company does mostly online sales, you can find products from the Alaska Rug Shop for sale at businesses like The Goods and Locals in Soldotna.
I hope that people can look at what we make and say, wow, they made something out of almost nothing, and it's really cool.
The Alaska Rug Shop is actively looking for people interested in donating used commercial fishing line and rope. If you want to donate, be sure to check out Alaska Rug Shop on social media. In Sterling, I'm Hunter Morrison.
And that's it for the local news. We'll be right back with the Island Messenger in just a minute.
Two big retailers say consumers will likely tap the brakes. I'm Novosavo with a Marketplace Minute. Walmart and Home Depot are tempering expectations on Wall Street. Walmart says sales growth this year will be less than last, but still as high as 4%. Home Depot expects growth of 1%. The company characterized that as a plateau after three booming years. Authorities from several nations have taken down a ransomware operation known as LockBit. The U.S. unsealed indictments against two Russian nationals. LockBit targeted thousands of companies and organizations globally, including Boeing. The Biden administration is distributing $6 billion to improve water infrastructure around the country, including replacing lead pipes, upgrading water treatment plants, and building rural projects. I'm Novosavo with a Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. It's 12:20. Today is Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. Sunrise was at 8:28 a.m. Sunset will be at 6:20 p.m. That makes for 9 hours and 52 minutes of daylight, about 4 minutes, 53 seconds more than yesterday. Record high today was 49 degrees in 2022, and the record low was 0 degrees in 1975. Jumping over to the tides in the Kodiak District, at 4:57 a.m. was the low tide at 4 feet. At 11:03 a.m., the high tide peaked at 8 feet. And the low tonight will be at 6:20 p.m. of 0.2 feet. Again, that's the Kodiak District, and over the west side in Larsen Bay, that low tide was at 5:50 a.m. of 5 feet. The high tide was at 11:36 a.m. of 12 feet, and the low tide was at 6:43 p.m. or will be at 6:43 p.m. of 0.27 feet. Taking a look at the community announcements, senior citizens of Kodiak is in need of paper bags. They ask that the bags are not torn or soiled and can be dropped off at the center between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Over at the Kodiak Public Library, they were closed yesterday for President's Day. Tuesdays from 11 to 1 p.m. is lo-fi and chill. You can unwind with calming lights, lo-fi tunes, and a relaxing atmosphere. It's ideal for focused study or hanging out with friends for ages 13 and up. And the escape room is open again. Sessions are Mondays and Fridays at 3 p.m., Tuesdays at 6 p.m., and Saturdays at 11 a.m. Patrons under 14 must be with an adult. For groups of 4 or less, you can call or stop in the library to sign up. Wednesdays at 3:30 is Lego Club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by adults. And Wednesday, tomorrow, February 21st at 6:30 p.m., the library will show the holdovers for dinner and a movie. Bring your dinner and they'll show the movie. You can set in a New England prep school, a grumpy teacher is forced to stay on campus and babysit students for the holidays. It runs 2 hours 14 minutes and is rated R. Thursdays at 10:30 a.m. is preschool story time for children aged 3 through 6. Fridays at 10:30 a.m., the library hosts Lapsit story time for babies up to 3. And Friday, February 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the first gathering of Teen Tabletop. Immerse yourself in the world of tabletop gaming with a collection of over 100 games for ages 13 and up. And February's genre reading challenge ends February 29th at the end of the month. That's next week. Get your genres recorded soon. Sign-up has started for I Did a Read, which starts March 1st. And again, that's at kodiak.beanstack.org. And you can contact the Kodiak Public Library at 486-8686. for the Kodiak Island Borough. Today, Tuesday at 5:15 p.m., the Solid Waste Advisory Board has its regular meeting at the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center Conference Room. Today at 5:30 p.m., the Women's Bay Service Area Board Budget Public Hearing will be at the Women's Bay Fire Hall. Tomorrow, the 21st, at 6:30 p.m., the Planning and Zoning Commission has its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers. On the 27th, next week, at 11 a.m., the Parks and Recreation Committee will have its regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room. Meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. You can contact the clerk's office at 907-486-9310 for any questions, and meetings are also live-streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. Senior citizens of Kodiak's Island Cove Adult Day Program has been helping families to care for their elders for over 35 years. Adult day services provide relief for the family, reduce isolation for the adult, and offers a fun and stimulating place to spend a few hours in a safe environment. If you've considered adult day services for your mother, father, or spouse, you can call 486-2203 or visit the website at kodiakseniorcenter.org for more information. And the city... Ooh, never mind. And season 10 of Galley Tables is going on. The next one will be on March 2nd, the theme being GOAT, or Greatest of All Time. And speaking of Galley Tables, there's also Scuttlebutt, a Galley Tables workshop for youth. That's Tuesdays from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's tonight in the Kodiak Public Library Craft Room. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in high school to practice building and sharing stories with help from experienced storytellers. You can call 907-486-7396 for more information, or you can email Ellamy, that's E-L-L-A-M-Y, at kwrcc.org. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the Island Messenger and the Midday Report. We'll be right back with Talk of the Rock.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.